Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2018 International Film Festival, Rotterdam, and I'm very pleased to be joined by director Malene Choi Jensen, who presented her film The Return here at the festival. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Would you be able to tell our listeners just a little bit about the movie and introduce it for us?
The film is about the two adoptees that return to Korea, where they're born, originally born, and they're visiting the country for the first time, and a lot of emotions stirs up, and they're trying to search for their birth family. Thomas finds his mother, and Caroline cannot find her natural mother or father.
Yes.
So it's like a birth test that turns up quite bad.
Yeah, so there's some people that make it and some people don't. And they come from different parts of the world. I was immediately curious to find out if this is a common thing, if this has happened a lot.
Yes, a lot of adoptees return to Korea to search for their birth families, and then go to meeting with the adoption agencies and getting treated quite badly.
Yeah.
Because there's no information in their adoption files, so because maybe they got an interest in hiding the details, because it's a big business. Yeah, so
it's a business.
It's a huge business.
So I don't know much about it, and I'm sure many of the listeners wouldn't be familiar with it. Is there like a particular reason why this was the adoption thing, like kids, Korean children being adopted in other parts of the world? I mean, where's the origins of that?
I think adoption is a notion that actually comes from Korea after the Korean War. Then there was a lot of American soldiers in Korea that had so there was a lot of mixed race children, and they were discriminated in Korea, so they had to fly them out of Korea.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I think adoption started at that time, yeah.
And so nowadays, then, that you have people going back to Korea. I mean, how familiar are you with this topic yourself, personally?
I have had multiple trips back to Korea, and my first trip was 10 years ago, where I was just curious to see my home country, and I had no notion about what it was about, only a fantasy.
Yeah.
And then I came back and I did my family search, but it only took one day because the adoption agency told me there's nothing to come for, no informations, and they told me I came from a city that I found out later that didn't existed. So it's more like so my search ended quite quickly.
A city that didn't exist.
Yeah.
That's either a bad lie or or it's like they don't know that Google exists. But so because the watching the film, obviously you find that there's a lot of realism. Like the style feels very real. Sometimes it feels like you may be watching a documentary. You know, how much is there a purposeful mixing of real and fiction in the movie?
I chose this hybrid form because being adopted has also something to do with, you never know what is real and what is unreal, because a lot of your story is made up by others. But it was also a way to shoot the film with a very small budget. Because normally when you shoot the documentaries, you stay there for a long period.
Right.
of time. And we only had 15 days of shooting, so we could plan it much better if we wrote it from Denmark. So the framework is fiction, but within... And then we wrote a treatment, but within the film, we also have scenes that are documentary.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so it's more like we had time for to improvise some of the scenes.
Oh, okay.
But we wrote it also back in Denmark, that now we have this scene where we would like to talk to an adoptee about this. And then when we got there, we found one. So
really?
It's more like, yeah.
And who was it?
Jace. All the adoptees in the movie, they were at Kurud at that time where we shot the film. So we just asked them, would you like to participate?
Oh.
So it took 5 minutes to get their permission. And then they just said, yeah.
And there's so many things that I could ask you about that, but another thing that interested me was that a lot of the movie takes place in the one house/hostel. Do these centers exist because of people going back and looking for their natural parents?
Yes, it's a guest house, private owned for adoptees only.
Oh, okay, right.
So it's a real location, yeah.
And they were happy that you were filming?
Yeah. I mean, of course we take up some space.
Yeah, within bounds, yeah.
Okay,
so I want to go back to the people going back to find out more about their natural parents. Of course, like your film shows, some people are successful and other people don't. Without getting too much into like how many people are successful or not, what I'm really interested in is the people that aren't successful, but like yourself, go back. Why do you not lose faith? Why do you just persist and keep wanting to go back, even though the search looks like it can't really lead anywhere?
I think the reason why I keep coming back to Korea is because I really like the food. I really like to be among other people that looks like me. Because I'm raised in a country where most of the people are white. So just to blend in is really a good feeling. And I also think some of us have a feeling of maybe emptiness and so a longing or sorrow. So we are trying to figure out where it comes from. So by going back, it gets more concrete in a way, yeah. Because then you can see, okay, this is what I have lost.
Yeah. But I guess I'm thinking of something you said earlier, that a lot of the adoptions and the concept of adoption came maybe from Korea because these kids were like bullied for being mixed race or mixed. And then in the movie, I remember that some of the characters in it talk about being bullied back at home because of their race. So that's also very unsettling, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's the horrible thing about adoption, is that you think you can give a child a good life in a westernized country, but then there's also something that comes along with that, is that you maybe are the only kid with an Asian look in that small town. And, yeah.
Do you hope that... maybe this film will also serve for people who feel in that kind of feel that way, to see, oh well, I'm not alone, you know.
Yeah, I really hope that all. I really hope that you can, just by watching the film, feel that you're not on your own. with those thoughts and feelings. Yeah.
Is that part of your interest in filmmaking, to make films like that? That reach out to an audience, you know, that speak out to audiences.
Yes.
You believe that films have that power, let's say.
Yes, yeah. I do. I really like a film as an art form, and I have done other films that weren't so political. But with this film in particular, Larry, I would really like it to reach an audience because it has something to offer, I think.
Yeah.
And whereas some of my other films were more like had something aesthetically.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure.
Okay, thank you.
This is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.